This is a lesson for kids, obviously, but there are a lot of adults in this room, okay? Now, I saw you did the motions with the songs and stuff, so if you made it through that, you probably can make it through this. And give it up for Josh and all his helpers. I mean, bravo. Josh, he had to learn that song, like, what, a few days ago? And I did the motions, recorded them, did them for him, and then he was, you know, supposed to learn them. So, you know, he did well for that. Because even I, when he was speaking, I'm like, I don't know what that motion is. Okay, but today we're going to talk about one word, keeping it simple for you, okay? This word is called faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Okay. And one way you can define faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. I have some motions for this. Let me show you. It goes like this. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now you know what I'm going to do? Make you do it, of course. So stand up, everybody. Because you got to remember this. This is the whole lesson. If you don't remember this, I'm wasting my time up here. Okay? So, repeat after me. Faith is complete trust. I said after, not like with. Awkward. Okay, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. There you did it again. Oh, stop doing it with me. Just kidding, I'll get over it. Now, hey, guys, guess what? We're going to say it all together with me. I bet you're really excited. Okay, here we go. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Thank you. You may all have a seat. Bravo. Well done. It's giving you a hard time, and you still did it anyway, so thank you. Okay, so we're going to be talking about faith, having complete trust or confidence in someone or something, and more specifically, talking about having faith in God, which I really liked some of the songs that went along with this, which I won't spoil the whole lesson, but like, good, good Father, God is our Father, right? Obviously, if you're a child of God, and we need to have faith in Him, no matter what the circumstance may be or what we go through, we need to have faith in God, and He is our Father, and will be there to help us. Okay, that's the lesson. I'm done. I mean, basically. Okay, so before I get started, gonna play a little game I like to call It's a Trap! Okay, half of you laughed. Okay, if you don't know what that orange person is, ask a Star Wars nerd and they'll tell you. That's what made it funny. It's not as funny if you don't know. Anyway, I need a brave volunteer who thinks that they have complete trust or confidence in me. Okay. Allie, you want to? Do you trust me? Are you sure? Okay, give it up for Allie. Bravo. Now, actually, you can sit right there for now. I'm just going to have you sit there. Don't move. Stay there. You might get scared, but don't move, okay?
Great. So, I have this little
trap here. This is actually a rat trap, all right? Used to kill rats, obviously. Lean, mean, killing machine. Okay. So I'm going to give you a little demonstration here. First off, you pull this back here, you take it like this here, you put it like this here. Okay, don't move. This is the dangerous part. Okay, now, I'm going to take this little popsicle stick. Now, safety first. Children, don't do this at home. Okay, don't do this at home. Okay, but put your safety glasses on. Now, open up, little rat trap. Say, here we go. Oh, this is really scary for me. All right. As you can see, pretend, Allie, that this is your finger, okay? Just pretend that, you know, don't actually believe it. Now, I'm going to set this back up here, but I'm going to have you come up here. Do you trust me? Are you sure? You hope. Okay, now, I want you, come over on this side, to place your finger on that right there. Now, before you do you trust me? This is not going to fling down and slam you on your finger.
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, I'm not the Pipe Piper or Pied Piper, you know? Okay? I'm nicer than him. I won't take it away. Do you trust me? Okay. Go for it. It's all yours.
Wait, should you wear your
safety glasses? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Here. We don't want your finger flying and hitting your face, okay? So there you go. So here you go. Right there on the metal part right there. Yep, just touch that. Like, put your finger on there. There you go. Wow, look at that. Nothing wrong with it. What? What? Bravo. Thank you. Well done. Give it up for her again. Like, okay. That actually is a very hard thing. I went to my mother last night, my mother of all people, and I was like, here, Mom, touch this. She's like, oh, I was like, she's like, I don't know. I was like, don't you trust me? And she's like, no. Thanks, Mom. So eventually got Ellie to do it. But you saw, she trusted me, okay, because she put it on there and jerked it off, which is perfect. Like, you did a perfect job because that's going to apply so well with the lesson. It's going to go marvelously, okay? So thank you. I appreciate that. Man, you got like 3 claps. Good night. Wish I got that many. All right, so I'm going to need that. Without further ado, I'm going to tell you a little story. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is an actual true story. I'm going to be telling you this. You're going to be like, what? That can't be true. But this is true. It's legit, 100%. Do you believe me? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad. All right, so this story takes place over in Israel at the Sea of Galilee. Everyone say Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee. It kind of rhymes, sort of. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to take you there. So, oh, snap. Oh, snap, it's a rat trap. Okay, I have a verse first to share with you, okay? Now, this is an important verse. Remember this, even though I think most of you probably know it, but it applies so well with the lesson. So here it goes. Psalms 23, verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Who do you think the "you" is talking about in this verse? "For you are with me." Who do you think that is? God, Jesus, yes. Same person, right? You're right. And this is David talking in this verse, and he's saying, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Does that kind of sound like the valley you'd want to go down? No. Difficult, students. No, you don't want to go down it, all right? So this is, it's kind of dangerous, kind of intense. He doesn't say, "Even though I walk through the valley of rainbows and unicorns." No, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. So like I was saying, God is our Father. He's with us, and he is our comforter, never leaving us. And we can put our faith in him. Okay, now that we got that done, we can move on to the story. Done. I didn't mean to say done, like it was a chore. Anyway, okay, so we're going to take a little travel over to Israel in the Sea of Galilee. So right here, that's Michigan. If you don't know your map, you're like, oh, is that Michigan? I didn't know. That's what all people do. Okay, so here we go. We're going to travel over to the Israel here. So, Indiana Jones people, okay? Ha ha, hilarious. Okay, so here we go. We traveled over here, and bingo, we're at Israel. And now, voila. You know what this is? Wow, you're so smart. How did you know that? All right, yes, this is the Sea of Galilee, and this is going to be the scene for our whole story. Everything's going to take place at this sea. You see it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, little fun facts about the Sea of Galilee. First of all, it's shaped like a liver. Kind of looks like a liver to me. That's a liver. That's a picture of my liver. Next up, it is approximately 8.078 miles wide and 13.05 miles long. Now, I need someone to guess the max depth of this sea. Yeah, say it loud and proud. Whoa, not quite. No. If 600 wasn't, no. anyone, you were scratching yourself. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I'll tell you. It was, or is, 141 feet deep. So it's nothing to, you know, shake a stick at. If that makes any sense. It's, you know, it's a good-sized lake. It's not a little pond, okay? You don't want to be out in the middle of this, or you don't want to swim across it, because you might not make it unless you're like Michael Phelps or something, okay? So, anyway, oh, another thing, too, before I continue. largest freshwater lake in Israel. What? Okay, that's it. Now, we know our scene here. This is the Sea of Galilee. And we come on a particular day, long time ago, far, far away, and we come to about this place. See this blue marker? We don't know from the Bible the exact location, but it's probably somewhere in here. And this is from Matthew chapter 14. And we find Jesus with his 12 disciples after Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 with how many loaves and fish? Does someone know? David? Correct answer. Well done. Yes, so he just did an amazing miracle, which everyone was shocked at, like, what? How is this possible? But he fed 5,000 people. Actually, that was 5,000 men. There was actually more people. They just listed the men, so there's probably, you know, because women and children, could have been 25,000, who knows. But he did that with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they grew and they multiplied. It was crazy. And afterwards, they actually had 12 baskets left over, full of food. Crazy miracle that he did of feeding 5,000. But anyway, we find him and his disciples after he had just done this. And there's a large group of people, of course. And he's with his disciples. And it's getting about evening time, starting to get dark. And he sends his disciples away. And he tells them to go to the other side of the sea, to the land of Gennesaret. Only going to say it once, okay? So their approximate route would have looked something like this, okay? To the other side of the lake. Simple enough, right? Easy task. So the disciples, they got in their boat, and they started rowing away. So I want everyone to row like this. Row, row, or however you row. Row like this. Oh, yeah, row, 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 row. Okay, you can stop. They had to do a lot of rowing, though, to, you know, get to the other side, of course. Anyway, in the meantime, Jesus is back with the rest of the people, and he sends them away. He tells them, go home, it's getting dark, you know. So he sends all those large people away, or large amount of people, I should say. Although after they ate, they're probably large. Heck weird. Anyway, so he sends them away, and then Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray all by himself. And I think this is really cool. It doesn't really have anything to do with the lesson, but that Jesus went up to a mountain to pray. And if Jesus set aside time to go pray to God, I think we should too, right? Yeah. Anyway, so he's up there. He's praying on the mountain. And his disciples are out in the sea, rowing away. But they run into a problem. The wind started to pick up. I have sound effects for this later, but I'm just doing it now. So they're rowing away, and the wind's going crazy, okay? They're freaking out. The boat's tossing back and forth, left and right, and they ended up in the middle of the sea. I kid you not. Read the Bible. They ended up in the middle of the sea. Now, does this go along with their route up here? No. They're in the middle of the sea. They're way off course, and they're freaking out because they are out in the middle of nowhere. It's dark. It's windy. And they're losing control of the boat. They can't do anything about it. So they're freaking out. Well, if matters could not have gotten any worse. As they're out on the ocean. Oh, there's the sound effects. Oh, see, now I don't have to do it. They're out here. They're rowing. But they can't control the boat. It's going crazy. Then they see something on the sea. Do you know what they see? No pun intended. You know what they see? A ghost! I kid you not. They saw a ghost and they shouted, "It's a ghost!" Like that, pretty much. So this is probably what they saw. Maybe, okay, I'm stretched in here. Probably didn't look like that. But they saw a ghost. So I want everyone on the count of 3 to yell as loud as you can, "It's a ghost!" Like you're super scared. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Well done. Now, there wasn't that many of them. There was only 12, okay? But they shouted, "It's a ghost!" And then, you know what they did? What they did. Ah! They screamed. I kid you not. Right out of there, they screamed like little girls. Imagine this, a boat full of men, and they're screaming like little girls. It's kind of embarrassing. Anyway, do you think they really saw a ghost out there? I mean, silly disciples, there's no such thing as ghost anyway. I mean, come on. No. What do you think they saw? Someone tell me. What was that? I heard it. Jesus, you're right. What? Now, how did Jesus get out there on the water? Nope. Right? He was walking on the water. What? No way. Okay? True story. Legit. Jesus was walking on the water. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, that's not possible. How did this happen? How did Jesus do it? You know what? I'm glad you asked. Even though you didn't ask. I have a guy here. His name's Steve. And he's an expert with water. And he's going to come out here, and he's going to tell you how Jesus walked on water. It's going to blow your minds. Okay? In the meantime, I want you to, you know, sit back, listen to some music, crank it, man, and feel free to dance. Get loose, get up if you want to. And I'm going to go get him. I'll be back. Sorry it took me so long, the traffic was crazy, man. Oh, do I hear music? Oh, yeah. Oh, sick move. All right, hey, what's going on, everybody? What's up? I want everyone to say, hey, Steve. Good try. Okay, yeah, hey, my name's Steve. I'm here to tell you about how Jesus totally walked on water. Like, totally. It's sick, bro. Sicker than my hair. All right? So I'm going to tell you how I did it. Because I'm kind of an expert with the water because dumb surfer. All right? So I'm going to tell you how I did it. It's real simple. Two steps. All right? Listen up. Two steps. Here we go. If you want to walk on water, you guys could do this too. I kid you not. If you want to be like, oh, dude, I really want to walk on water. Okay, you could do this. Okay, if you got a pool or a lake nearby, just be like, I'm going to walk on water, man. Okay, and you can do it. Okay, so simple. First step, place both feet on the water. Okay, so real simple, take your feet like this. Boom, mission accomplished, okay? You're on water. Okay, next step, listen up. Fall through the water because it's impossible, man. Okay? I mean, if you're like, oh, I'm going to walk on water, and you try, dude, it's impossible. I've seen people, like, I've been surfing the web. No pun intended. Anyway, I've been surfing the web, and there's, like, videos of people walking on water, but they can't do it. Or when they do, like, bros, they're cheating. They have, like, a glass underneath the water, and they're, like, seriously, look it up if you want to, surf the web. And they're running on water, but they're not, okay? Because, dude, it's literally impossible. So how did Jesus do it? I don't know. Okay, so... But I'm going to tell you a simple physics of how to walk on water. Okay, so it's real simple. There's two things you need to float. Okay, listen up. It's important. Displacement and density. Okay, so you need displacement and density to walk on water. Let me explain. Okay, take my surfboard, for instance. Legit. All right. I mean, I got it from my Aunt Bertha. She was done with it, and she's like, you want my surfboard? Because I'm all done with it. That's what my brother talks. I'm like, yeah. So I took it. Okay, anyway, moving on. First thing you need is a large surface area of the board to displace a lot of water to sustain human weight. So in other words, my surfboard is large, right? Not complicated. Sits on the water, displaces a lot of water, pushes it down so it can withstand my human body. All right? Okay. That was funnier in my head. Anyway, so next thing you need is the density of the board has to be less than the water, allowing the board to float. Okay? Now, if you had feet the size of a surfboard with density less than the water, you could walk on water. Does anyone have feet the size of a surface board. Surfboard. No, you don't. Don't lie. Okay, so it's impossible, but I'm going to give you a little theory of how I think Jesus did it. Okay, you ready for this? Gonna blow your mind, right? So, how did Jesus do it? Well, I'm thinking he had like rocket sandals. It was like, oh yeah, flying on water. Whoa. No. I don't think he did it that way. I'm just kidding. Well, because he's the Son of God. Duh. All right? He could do anything, mans. Dudes and mans and whoever you are. All right? So he was like, I'm going to walk on water. I'm going to walk on water. So he walked on it like a boss. Okay? So, hey, Breaks, that's all I got for you. Okay? So I'm leaving. Y'all have a fantastic day. And, you know, damn. Good for you. It's healthy. Okay? Peace. All right. Such a nice guy. So smart, too. I mean, I tell you. All right. Well, back to the story. A little rabbit trail there just for you. You're welcome. Okay. Where were we? Someone tell me. Okay. Storm, walking on water. That's right. Jesus was walking on water. Now, what happened was the disciples, as I was saying, they're screaming like little girls. They see a ghost, but then it's Jesus. And I have to picture... I mean, this is kind of funny from Jesus' side. I mean, I can imagine Jesus saying this next line right here with a little smile, okay? Let me tell you. So after the disciples are shouting like little girls, ah, it's a ghost! Jesus says, and I got a picture of him saying this with a smile because it was probably pretty funny. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. So Jesus, who's the Son of God, he's walking on the water, and then his disciples see him, and they scream like little girls, and he's like, hey, guys. It's me. Don't freak out. Okay? Which would be pretty funny. And now, I'm just going to warn you, a little side note. We're getting to the most important part of the lesson right here. I have extra hair. Where did that come from? What in the world? Okay. This is the most important lesson, so pay attention. Get your ears out like this. Flap your ears. Okay. Very good. Now, something strange happens. Kind of weird. So Jesus tells them, it's I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter speaks up and he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Peter is asking Jesus for him to come onto the water. And Jesus says, very simply, come. So what does Peter do? He steps out onto the boat, and he starts walking on the water. But as he's walking to Jesus, he looks around. And he sees all the wind and the waves and all the craziness around him. And he freaks out. And he's afraid. And he starts to sink. And he shouts, Lord, save me! And Jesus immediately catches him, pulls him out of the water, and saves him. And he says this line right here, which is so key. Here we go. Listen up. He says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did he doubt? Because he was... with Jesus. Jesus was only so many feet away from him. Why did he doubt? And Jesus was telling him, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt? I'm right here. And then he takes Peter with him. And they go and they get back on the boat. And as soon as they got on the boat, another crazy thing happens. If there wasn't craziness enough, the wind ceases. Everything calms down around them. And the disciples praise Jesus and say, truly, you are the Son of God. And immediately, another crazy thing. They immediately appear where they were supposed to go, right at the shore. So boom, just like that, like Star Trek or something. Pretty crazy, okay? So all those crazy things happened, and Peter, he didn't have a lot of faith. He had a little faith, but he didn't have a lot of faith. So I have a question for you, question right here, that kind of concludes our little story right here. Why do you think, we're going to do the faith motions first. So I want to stand up, okay? You've been sitting a little bit again. We're going to get you up again, moving around. I want you to say the faith definition with me. So faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Very good. Thank you. You may have a seat. So this is faith. But why do you think Peter doubted? Why do you think Peter doubted? I'm going to allow you like to speak. You can talk. Put trust in the wrong place. Okay. Anyone else? Right. Very true. He was distracted. All right. Okay. Thought he was dreaming. Okay. That's an interesting thought. I don't know what was going on in his mind. But here's the verse here. And it says, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So it says here that when he saw the wind was boisterous, big word. Use that in your vocabulary. You like say it in a random sentence to your parents, and they'll be like, wow, you're so smart. Look at my kid. Okay. And but the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid. So what was his problem? Let me tell you. Here, I simplified it for you. His focus was on the situation and not on the Savior. I like that. It's two S's. It's worked hard on that. Okay. Anyway, his focus was on the situation, on the things around him, and not on Jesus, his Savior. So he got scared. He was afraid. Now, that's all fine and dandy. But how about you and your life? I don't think you're going to be walking on the sea, so you're not going to have that problem or trial. But what are some hard times in life when you need to have faith in God? We'll say this is a rhetorical question and move on. Okay, so for instance, when your pet dies, that's not a good time. I've had that happen, not fun. So you need to have faith in God in that. Or maybe bullies at school, or family problems at home, or being lost, or too much homework. I can relate to that. Or being scared of the dark. I know, you're scared of the dark. There's some adults here who are scared of the dark, all right? And we could go on and on of all the different hard times in life, because I hate to break it to you, but life isn't all unicorns and rainbows. No, you're going to have hard times. And in those hard times, what do? Do we freak out? Or do we have faith in God that he knows what's best and he's with us, all right? There we go. God is bigger than any problem we face. So you may be thinking, oh, I have a terrible problem, but realize God is bigger than that, any problem you face, and he will help you through that. Now, you may be thinking, how do I know if I'm a child of God? I've been saying if you're a child of God, if he's your father, but how do you know if you are a child of God? Well, God says simply that if you believe in Jesus in your heart and ask him to save you from your sin, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. If you have any questions on this, because this is so important, you can talk to me afterwards, or to Pastor Josh, Pastor Glenn, or anyone else, because this is so key. And when you do believe in Jesus and call out to him for your salvation, he'll save you, and you become his child. Okay? Now I have a bonus. A little bonus material. Okay, so we've been saying, you know, have faith in the hard times, but you should always have faith, right? You should. You should. And when you pray, do you think you should have faith that God hears your prayer and will answer for what's best for you? Yes. So this is key, which, you know, I struggle with this. I struggle with having faith in God. Like when I was preparing this lesson and freaking out because I'm like, oh, man, there's so much to do. God was teaching me through this. I'm like, you're learning about having faith. You should have faith in me through this. So just an example there. But yeah, you should have faith when you pray. And James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So when you go to God and you ask for him for his help or something, so let's say you have a lot of homework and you're like, God, help me with this homework. I'm stressed out. I really don't want to do this. Do you pray that as in like, you might answer this, you might not? That's doubting. And you're like a wave of the sea. You're like, oh, I don't know. Is he going to? No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. But you need to have faith in God and realize that he's going to answer your prayer, that he hears you, and he will help you. So to conclude, my little challenge for you guys is this. Short, sweet, and simple. Dun, da, da, the curtain revealing what it is. Have faith in God. No matter what the circumstance. I mean, why wouldn't you? Because, and I have the reference down there, Matthew 14:31, where that's when Jesus is saying to Peter, when he's sinking, and he picks him up. Well, it's after that. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" Of all people, for us to doubt in this universe, God should be the last one. We shouldn't even be the last one. He should not be at all, okay? Because he is all-powerful. He is your father. He is always with you, your comforter. Why do we doubt him? Is it because we focus on our situation and think, oh, this problem is too much, and not focus on him, realizing that he is bigger than any problem that we face? So have faith in God, no matter what the circumstance. He's there for you. He's going to help you because everything's all hunky-dory right now. But you're probably going to go throughout this week, later on this week, something bad's going to happen. So what are you going to do in that instance? Are you going to freak out? You can have faith in God and realize, hey, you have this in control. You know what's best. Right, well, let's go ahead and pray. So swim along because you can't walk on water. And clap them together. Wiggle them to your lap. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much that you are our Father and that you love us. We cannot live this life on our own, and we're going to face problems. We're going to face trials. I thank you that you are with us. Help us in those times to have faith in you no matter what, no matter what. Thank you. You are good, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.